Hey, everybody, welcome to this episode of the Disc Golf Answer Man. I am Bobby Cool, Daddy Slick Breeze. And this evening, I have with me the one and only Robert McCall. Eric Oakley is traveling, obviously traveling from Emporia, Kansas. We could not remember where, but we wish him safe travels. And he's got a long 12 and a half hour drive ahead of him. Well, he's probably well into the drive, but he's probably got about five more hours to his destination. So anyway, me and Robert are here to answer some questions, and we'll get you some disc golf knowledge.
Seems obvious that today's show will be much better than normal.
See, yes. From the get-go, you should already know when I said
clearly we don't have
Eric Oakley, that things are already up a notch or two.
Oh my gosh, at least.
At least. So, but a really quick catch up. As far as Dynamic Discs Open, I'll be honest with you guys. I had a little bit of FOMO. This would be my first year. I wasn't in Emporia, Kansas for a long time for the Dynamic Discs Open. Of course, years past, it was the glass blown open. But I saw a lot of people posting stuff, a lot of things happening. And of course, apparently it was a super windy weekend for competition. But that's what you have to be ready for when you go to Emporia, Kansas for disc golf, is the windy weather. I didn't catch exactly what it was, but Matt Bell, $25,000 ace for the Eric fundraising thing. What does it stand for?
Early recognition is critical.
Yeah, for looks like a cancer awareness type of foundation. Mm-hmm. So, man, I can't imagine the feeling you get watching that disc go in for an ace, but then realize you just pocketed $25,000. That's got to be an amazing feel. Did you happen to catch what disc he threw?
It was one of his signature series, Thought Space Synapse, I think, maybe. Okay. Something like that.
Maybe someone on the board will let us know exactly if they know. I think
a casual 25K.
I know.
And he had to drop out of the event because I think he's got like an issue on his side or something like that. I'm not really sure. So he had to drop out, but not before making 25K.
Makes it a little easier to drop out when you just made $25,000 with one throw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you made three times what the person who wins the event will make, it's totally fine.
Well, good for him. So, and then someone else aced that hole too as well. Chloe.
Yeah.
That was during competition, right? I think it was the final round. So
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the only two aces that I heard about at the event.
There's one other. On a practice round where it didn't count for the 25K. But actually two others. Yeah, Blair Orne or Sam. I'm terribly butchering his name. He's a European player. Hit it in practice, and then Big Germ hit it during the tournament as well.
Oh gosh, that would stink. That would stink hitting it when you don't win the 25,000.
When it doesn't count,
So let's see. Some people saying about DDO, heard the player saying the ground was spongy. I did see a clip where James Conrad had a pretty big upshot and slipped and fell. I'm sure he's fine. First time listener. What's up, Whitney? Thank you so much for joining us for your first time.
Man. Good to have you.
Is it that? Wait, how much is it to rent out Bobby Airbnb?
Oh, 25K. Is that much? How much it costs?
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah. A night. Mm-hmm. A night. $25,000 a night. So
an hour.
And right, wait, it's not that kind of Airbnb. So
this ain't look, that's not this kind of establishment.
Slow down. So anyway, so good stuff with the Dynamic Discs Open. Congratulations to Ricky Wysocki. That's got to feel good to be sponsored by Dynamic Discs and come home in a sense to your
home field advantage.
Yeah, and win. And then Kristen Tatar showing that she is someone to compete with. By winning as well. How many strokes did she win by this one? I forgot to look at that.
Just one.
Oh, just one. Okay. Wow. So not quite the domination she did in it's Jonesboro.
No, she was actually down one going into the island hole. And Kat laid up, got on the island, and her putt kind of hit right side cage, right side chains, and went in the water. Yeah. Went on the island. So she got a five. Kristen's putt for two somehow didn't go in the water. It was wild. It barely sat on the edge, but she got a three that flip flopped them. Then she was up by one. And then that was that.
Nice.
For me though, big shout out to Logan Harpool, DD sponsored guy.
Fifth, right?
He finished tied for third.
That's right. Okay.
Unreal. just a great performance from him all weekend. And just like a super stand up dude. Like if you haven't met Logan before, he's a guy to root for. Yeah, he's a really cool guy. So yeah,
let's see. And then Brody Smith was up in that mix.
He was in the tie for third. Jake Hebenheimer was in there with the horseshoe putt style. And like I've watched. So Jake is an elite distance thrower. He throws so far, you guys, so far. But his putt was always holding him back. And now he's found something that works for him in that kind of like step up horseshoe putt. And it looks funny, but it's getting the job done. So congrats to him. Yeah. Big tie there for third. Yeah, it was a great weekend.
Nice.
Fun to watch.
Chaser, if you're really wanting to know how much to rent out Bobby's Bear Airbnb and how much to have him stay in part, that's the $25,000. I'll stay in part with you. But you right. can go, to cooldaddyslickbreeze.com and there's a link to, where you can see what it costs to stay the night there. Cause it varies depending on the time of the year. The other person to note that I wanted to talk about was, first let's stay with the FPO side. And that is, Paige Pierce, her performance as of late. Now I know she had some wins, a few tournaments ago, but, it seems like she placed fifth where typically doesn't she perform pretty well in Emporia. Now, how much did you pay attention to the Supreme 18 as far as like the big differences for the women? They had quite a few holes that were different. Yeah.
Some. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, it's still a bear of a course.
Yeah.
Super long for the men and the women. Paige was leading after day one and then struggled day two on Jones Supreme again. And that's when Kristen kind of shot up. I think she beat Paige by 12 or something that day.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it just seemed like the wind was eating everybody up and whoever kept the disc in bounds best was going to take the title. And Kristen did a pretty great job of that. Hit some big putts too.
Yeah. And then the other thing to note is of course, what I've seen on, and someone mentioned in the board is that, Paul McBeth did not even make the cut.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. How crazy.
How crazy.
By one throw.
Was it one stroke? Golly. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't even in a tie. Like he was the only person at that score. So he needed one more person above him to drop down and he'd have made it. Yeah. It's weird. You don't see McBeth miss cuts, but, pretty brutal conditions out there.
Yeah. Must've been, I could only imagine the, just from having been to so many, events in Emporia, how much the wind was probably very frustrating to people. And I would say
pretty much sustained 25 to 30.
Yeah. I'm almost thankful I wasn't there because that is miserable.
It sucks.
It's miserable as a player because that's your livelihood. But I remember as going out there to take photos and, you know, it's like I was getting wind whipped and then I get just like the pitchers don't turn out well because everybody's pissed off at the wind. So it's like, So yeah. Anyway. All right, good stuff at Dynamic Discs Open. Now, I guess, is there anything to remark on that happened there? I'm sure the block party, I saw some pictures from the block party. That's always a big thing. And it looked like some people were having some great times at the block party.
Yeah, looked awesome.
Yeah.
Big shout out for sure to Jackie Morris. She was a TD this weekend. One of only, I think, four or five women to TD an Elite Series event. Mm-hmm. And it won't be the last one for Jackie. She's killing it. So yeah, I mean, she's taken over a lot of what Doug was doing before on the event side and just knocking it out of the park. So Jackie Morris, I'm sure you won't hear this, but you're great. Good work. Great.
Yeah. Well, I expect nothing less just from working from her and knowing her work ethics. And as well, I saw they started a new series where they were highlighting I can't remember if it was specifically tournament directors or just people that work in disc golf, but she was the first one that they interviewed. And so I'm sure that's well-deserved for her to be on that as far as being interviewed.
Yeah, 100%.
So, all right, guys, as always, go to discgolfanswerman.com, submit those disc golf questions. We will get them on the air. Like I said earlier, we have a few. And just for our audio listeners, just to let you know, there's a storm rolling through here where I'm at. So if there's a weird stop in the episode, you'll know that's why. Of course I'll get on there and explain.
And then I'll just talk for however much time's left.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Monologue.
First one is from Andy. He is, who is currently the best player never to win a major in your opinion? Let's say they have have to have been MPO or FPO for at least 3 years. Who are those candidates? You're much better at knowing players and player histories. So what are your thoughts on this?
There's two that come to mind right off the top, but I want to make sure that this person hasn't won one before I say that they haven't. For me, it's Eagle McMahon. Don't think Eagles won a major yet. Right. I'm pretty sure. I think as far as longevity goes and skill ceiling, I mean, it's gotta be Eagle. He's insane. I think it's only a matter of time until he wins one. If he can stay healthy right now, looks like he's been dealing with some health issues and injuries and stuff. So he's number one up there for me, but a close second. And as far as talent goes, I kind of put these two guys on par with one another. It's Calvin Heimberg. I think he and Calvin are neck and neck there as far as talent goes. Eagle's just been playing longer, so that's why I would I'd give him the edge on this one. But recently, Calvin's had more close calls, and I think will continue to. So
give us your thoughts.
Fantastic players
on the YouTube board. Give us your thoughts on some players that we will miss to talk about that you think that deserves to have win a major, or at least should be winning a major. The thing is, so what are your thoughts on like Calvin and Heimberg as far as like, you know, I remember.
Wait, try that again. You said Calvin and Heimberg.
My bad.
Eagle and Calvin. Is that what you're.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Yeah. Go.
No, I meant Eagle and McMahon. So.
Okay.
No, I meant Heimberg and McMahon. Yes. My thoughts, my thinking is that, and even when I was Anthony Barella, I saw him at Jonesboro. And I remember thinking, I remember when Anthony Barella was like, everybody was like, this kid's going to be he's going to be the big thing. Now, I don't know if it's just the kind of thing that we attach onto people. We're like, oh, this kid's good. McBeth is kind of mentoring him and he's just going to be the it thing and stuff. And then it's, you know, no knock against, I'm not knocking the guy. But it's just like he just kind of like fell off. Now, Heimberg and McMahon obviously haven't fell off because they've won some events and they're still doing well. They're on media coverage from time to time when it comes to performing. But it's like, I guess that's got to kind of mess with your head as far as like having so much hype and then not being able to perform to the hype level that people say you should be.
Right. Yeah. AB is one of those guys that can put together just crazy streaks. But he's insanely talented, right? And he's a super streaky player. So if he gets hot at the time of a major, forget it. Yeah, like almost nobody's going to be able to do the same things that he can do. It just hasn't happened at a major yet. I see a couple of people on the board saying Drew Gibson, Kevin Jones, Simon, if we don't count European Open, Bradley Williams. Bradley is insanely talented. I don't think he's quite up there, as far as longevity on the national stage, like the elite stage goes, as Drew and Kevin. He kind of stays local to Texas, and then he's been traveling some more lately. But yeah, insanely talented. I think I would put Drew and Kevin behind Eagle and Calvin. Both great disc golfers. But I think the other two, Calvin and Eagle, will win before those two. Yeah, that's where I'm at on it.
How many years do you think it'll take for McMahon and Heimberg to win? Are we talking about the next year or two? Or?
Yeah, one of them will win a major this year, I think, if not both. I mean, Calvin had a super close look at USDGC in 2020 or whatever it was. Had a pretty brutal roll away on 17. That's the year that Dickerson won. I wouldn't be surprised if Eagle or Calvin wins one this year. They're both pretty insane.
Reese says almost seems unfair that Eagle or Calvin haven't won. Why would you suppose unfair? Because of the timing.
They're just that good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for Calvin, I mean, he without that roll on 17 at USDGC, then he's, there's no way he doesn't win that weekend.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's not a shot to Chris. Chris played great. He built himself a huge lead going into round four. And so he did what he needed to. But without that role, Calvin wins USDGC. I don't know. I think they're both super good. And if they, I would be shocked if they don't both have a major title to their name by the time they're done playing disc golf.
All right, let's put some money on this, or let's put a wager on this. I say Calvin wins before Eagle. Is that fair? Or do you want to do?
No, I would take Calvin.
You would take Calvin?
I'll take Calvin first.
All right, you take Calvin. If Calvin wins a major before Eagle, then I owe you torchies.
Darn tootin'.
And then vice versa.
But since I got to pick, I'll owe you two torchies.
There you go. That'll work.
Since I got my choice.
That's fair. So if McMahon wins his major first, then you owe me torchies twice. Not two torchies. Tacos.
Torchies. No, yeah. Two times torchies. Tanner McCartney, what's up, Tanner? Thanks for joining in. He said, I think Mason will win before Eagle.
Mason hot Ford? Take
for sure. Yeah. Mason is one of those guys who, I mean, his ceiling is wild. Like, he's so smooth, super composed. I think give him a little bit more time to develop at the top level and he's going to be right up there. He's already having great finishes, right? But he's one of those guys that really could break through at the top level with how consistent he is. Whether he'll win before Eagle is entirely dependent on if Eagle stays healthy. Because a healthy Eagle is just...
can soar.
Man, he's tough to beat.
That was bad.
He's just tough to beat. He's a really, really talented disc golfer.
I would say too, as far as Eagle, yes, the injury, the physical stuff, but he also kind of gets in his head when he plays, when he's not playing well.
Eagle?
Yeah. I mean, you can see it on camera and I've seen it like up front when I did the Would Be on Tour. You can just see his frustration, whereas Calvin seems to be able to handle it. Now, whatever's going on in Calvin's head, I can't imagine he's like has a lot of stress in his head because it doesn't show. But just seems that Calvin handles the stress a bit better than Eagle can. And I'm just saying, I mean, Eagle does have the history of punching the ground and hurting his hand. Mm-hmm. So it's like that to me, that also affects your play. No matter how well you are, if you can't control your emotions, that's going to affect your play big time.
Yeah. A couple of others before we move on. Chris said, how far is Gavin out? Are you talking Gavin Rathbun or Gavin?
I bet you means Gavin Burr. Burr? Bear?
No, that would be Gannon.
Oh, no, that's right. My bad.
The other is Babcock. I couldn't remember his last name for a minute. Both talented players. If Gavin Rathbun can stay healthy, he's another one of those guys that just has crazy distance. And when his putt is on, he can compete with everybody. So he's probably at least a couple of years out of really developing at that top level, but he's a guy with the tools that could do that. And then the last one, Chaser said, my dark horse pick is Tristan Tanner. Seems like the poor guy's perpetually injured, yet he still plays well. Tristan is his toolkit is, I mean, it's right up there. It's top five. As far as backhand and forehand distance goes, accuracy goes. He was shredding at Dynamic Discs Open before he got the COVID.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see him compete healthy. He's awesome.
All right. That's Tristan is actually my grandson's favorite player. Yeah, he says he always watches his YouTube channel. Yeah, watches his YouTube channel and loves to throw what he throws. So, all right. Next question comes from.
He's a good guy to support too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Great guy.
Yeah.
All right, Michael has a question. What's up, Cool Daddy, Slick Breeze, Eric, The Shades, Oakley, and Robert, MC Call. MC. I've been wanting to learn a forehand and seem to always release in it nose up. Any tips with nose angle? Also, I'm throwing a Discmania FD and a Sidewinder. Are they the right discs to learn on?
I think those are great discs to learn on. As far as nose angle goes, I think I would borrow this one from Eric, the way that he talks about following through forward first. I think it's tough for you to have an issue with nose angle, especially nose up, if you really are shifting your weight from back to front through the shot and following through forward instead of just trying to arm it through really hard. The thing I would think is just like try and push the disc down the fairway instead of making it fly, like just get it out there, and I think that'll help some. But I wish Eric was here to answer that. I think that's probably similar to what he would say. Another thing you might check is your grip. See if, for me, I'll have forehand issues with nose angle when I'm doing like the, you know, the shooter grip or whatever, but I don't have my fingers pointed in toward the rim like this. It's more like fingers pointed toward the sky. I find that I have a more difficult time controlling the angle that way, as opposed to kind of turning them sideways and following through like palm toward the fairway.
When it comes to practice, when it comes to
slapping the fairway,
slapping the fairway.
Yeah.
When it comes
to what I do,
you do a lot of slapping. I noticed that. When no rumors. We're not spreading rumors here.
She don't me.
Yeah, exactly. I had a thought about nose angles. Like that's the thing that comes up quite often is fixing your nose angle. So when you're out practicing, you know, you're practicing your reach back, you're practicing your X step, you're practicing your moving through your hips and all this stuff. How does one practice nose angle? I mean, is it just something that you have to sit consciously say, okay, I'm going to watch my disc come out of my hand and make sure that I have the right nose angle. I guess it seems like a weird, for me, it seems like a challenging thing to practice for.
It is. It's one of the hardest things to control. I think it's one of those things that you have to take individually, like when you're working on other things in your form. So when you go out to do field work, think about, you know, if I'm just thinking about footwork and drilling my footwork and making sure that it feels good, that's the only thing I'm thinking about. Then same for Anheuser releases. If today I'm working on Anheuser, I want to make sure that I'm getting the disc over exactly on the angle that I like. Same goes for nose angle. You know, you've got to get out in the field and feel what it feels like to throw a disc that is nose down. Then try and replicate that. And the only way you can do that is really just by watching it happen. So I used to have a friend tell me to try to throw the disc into the ground if I was having trouble with nose angle. It's kind of tough to, actually throw the disc into the ground if you have a nose up angle, right? Cause it kind of like air bounces. And you're going to throw some literally really awful shots while you're working on that. But the goal is just to get the nose flat. And so you can kind of overcorrect that way and then find the medium where the nose is more neutral to slightly down. Yeah.
Do you remember Don that lived in Emporia? God, I can't remember his last name. Him and then I think it was Akeem that used to be Team DD a long time ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, right, they had throws that like as soon as when you were talking about throwing it toward the ground, and it would lift up. They had throws that were just so unique the way they threw it, and it literally would go down and then lift.
Yeah.
Like 10, 15 feet out of their hand, all of a sudden there'd be a lift to it. I always thought that was interesting how that worked.
So, yeah. That's JD Ramirez is like that as well. Super control. That's a great way to get control. You're just not going to be able to throw it quite as far.
Cause you lose a lot of the
down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Exactly. Okay.
All right. Next one comes from Morgan. He says, is it harder for short people to be good at disc golf? I watched the pro tour have been playing for a while, but it seems like every time I match up with someone or watch the tour, everyone seems to be taller around 6 feet. And ripping throws. I'm 5'6" on a good day and want to know if there are people I can watch that are around my height. Emerson Keith, ? Or any tips or tricks to help with my game and not having the length of other competitors? Or is it just a matter of my arms being short? Love the show and thank for all the advice you do or give. Also love that Oakley resides in Pensacola. That is where I am from.
Nice. Awesome.
So another one I can think of real quick is Paige Pierce. You know, she's not a tall lady, but boy, she can throw far for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You said the two that I would have suggested as well. Emerson Keith is 5'6" is probably accurate. And just boomer distance. He gets it way out there. His mechanics are really clean. And you can tell that he engages his core a lot when he throws. And so he'd be a really helpful one to watch. But yeah, Paige's form is extremely efficient, especially for, you know, I don't think Paige is taller than 5'6", and she puts the disc out there a long way. And I don't think she has a lot of wasted motion in her driving form either. So those are the two. If, you know, if you're short and you're looking for someone to pattern after, yeah, those would be the people that I'd watch. Macbeth is not on the shorter side. Like, you know, he's not 5'6", but he's not 6 foot.
Yeah. I mean, Drew Gibson is 6 foot either.
No, they're both pretty close. I think they're probably in the 5'9", 5'10" range.
Yeah.
And both can just murder a disc.
Drew Gibson.
So I mean, those are good guys to check out as well.
Yeah. And literally, I can't remember what hole it was, but Clemens was on a hole. And Clemens, I mean, he's not super tall, but he's a little taller. Probably has a nice good
wingspan. Yeah, he's over 6 foot.
Yeah, got a good wingspan when it comes to arm length. And they're at a hole. And I mean, there was effort, obviously, but not without a lot of effort. Drew threw twice as far as Clemens did. And everybody, and Clemens was like, oh my God, what the, it's like, and it's like, what is it about those people that, why? I mean, Drew's not a, he's not a tiny guy, but he's not like muscular and he's not tall like some of the other people you think, but man, like you said, the mechanics are set there so that everything's working as it should for him to get that disc, like amazing distances.
So. Sure. Drew is actually pretty muscular though.
That's true.
He's a strong dude.
And he's got a lot of tattoos. I'm sure that helps.
Which helps.
Right.
I mean, that's 10% per throw per tattoo.
Right.
should have gotten more tattoos when I had the chance to
exactly
compete. But really it comes down to timing and explosiveness, right? Everybody can move quickly at one point or another in their throw. It's, can you move quickly at the right time to make the disc do what you want to do? Like, that's what all those people that we were talking about have in common. Watch Drew throw, and it doesn't look like he's trying hard, but it's because his snap and his explosive speed is only at the end of the throw, right? He's not sprinting up. It's just when he reaches back slow, and then pop fast. That's how he generates all of that. So
yeah,
it's all about timing.
Good stuff. All right. Next question comes from Dallas, and he wants to know, why is Disc Golf Ranchman not at 1,000 subs yet? I don't know.
We're pretty close.
How close are we? Happen to notice when you?
I looked earlier. 954.
All right. Close.
46 subs away.
Yeah. All right. And just a reminder, we're talking about that.
We got a bag to give away.
We got a Dynamic Disc Combat Ranger that Eric Oakley has in his possession. Well, probably not right now. It's at his house. But we're going to give that away to somebody who subscribes on YouTube. So once we hit 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. Also, now that we're kind of talking about that stuff, I want to give a shout out to our latest Patreon supporter, Mr. Jebediah. So thank you so much, Jebediah, nice, for becoming a Patreon supporter. We appreciate that. That helps me pay some of the fees that are associated with having a podcast pushed out there. So I appreciate that very much. All right, let's go.
I thought this was free.
Huh? You thought it was free? Yeah, everything.
I thought this was 100% free.
Yeah, everything in life is free. So all this stuff is free, yeah.
Sweet. So it's really just for you to get tacos. I mean, that's says it on the Patreon thing.
All right. This question is from Ahmed. Hey, DeGam fam, hurry up and get to 1,000 subs so I unburden Eric from having to carry around the bag everywhere. Does it come with a Berg or does that arrive 6 months later? Well, if it's up to Eric, it'll probably be 6 months to a year before you get it. So
hey, good callback, Ahmed.
All right. Anyways, I have a question. I have problems throwing Anheuser, so I generally throw a high hyzer flip and have it slowly drift right. Most of the time it works, but sometimes I get no flip and it rides straight. Why it do that?
Yeah, great question. The answer is nose angle.
Is it again back to nose angle, huh?
It really is. This is something that I've struggled with at different points of my disc golf career, is that if you're not really particular about your Anheuser angles and, like, you know, starting high and kind of following through toward the ground, then an Anheuser feels a lot like a nose up throw. Like, they feel shockingly similar. One rides to the right when you actually do get the wing down to the right side. One just goes straight and bails left and sucks. So yeah, I mean, throwing Anheuser's is primarily about commitment. Go and take an overstable disc and try to throw it at 60% on an Anheuser, because it'll tell you even faster if you're actually throwing an Anheuser, right? If you see when the disc comes out, if it's on this angle, then it finishes, no problem. But if you don't put enough Anheuser on one of those discs, it's just going to bail left immediately. Okay. So try and get, like, you know, your Firebird or your Felon or your, what's Eric's Scepter?
I think.
Try and get that to ride to the right, even if it's just for a little bit. And then you'll start to feel like this is what an Anheuser angle feels like out of the hand. And to be fair, a high hyzer flip is not a terrible throw. It's actually a good one to have, but you have to make sure that you do get that nose down so that it can actually get over to the right. Because if it doesn't, then yeah, you've got the nose up, straight, bailout, early left shot. Like the dreaded nowhere close to what you're trying to throw a shot.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all.
I just throw hyzers.
Just hyzer? Mm-hmm. Do you yell hyzer? Hyzer.
Hyza! And then I throw it.
Sometimes I don't even know what I'm doing. I just got to throw it.
You just got to let it have it.
Just got to let it fly. See what happens. Let the disc do the work. Whoa.
Yeah.
Sorry. Building just shook from thunder.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I like wide open, really long courses, like the ones that I always play well on, because I can just throw super far. And who cares where it goes?
Right.
You know?
Because I'll get it back there some way, somehow.
Eventually, I'm going to get to the basket.
Yeah. I need to get your address because I'm going to send you some discs to try. Okay. I don't know if you heard. Let me see.
So should I just tell it to you on air? It's 3-6-2.
Yeah. Just kidding. And then your phone number and then your, yeah. So this... Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Clash Disc? We've talked about it before.
The Peppa. Yeah, we talked about it.
Have you touched it? Have you held any of it? Have seen any of discs?
Not in person, no.
All right, I need to send it to you then.
I'll test them, yeah.
This one is the Clash Pepper, and this is an overstable distance driver. Doesn't have the numbers on it. I should have had the numbers for you, but and then they got the Berry, which is the mid-range. It feels really nice. Berry.
Okay.
Like they're feels good. And yeah, I think you're going to pick up on that just because you've been playing for so long and have been around a lot of the disc golf business, the biz, and right. I felt other discs and stuff, but
it's pronounced bidness.
Bidness. So, uh-huh.
And bidness.
It's good.
And then
the mango. Yeah, I don't know if anybody on the board has thrown any of this, and then the mango seems to be a pretty popular one, and this was an overstable. I think this is like it's probably like a suspect overstable mid. I have not thrown them yet. Every time I go thinking about throwing it, it's bad weather, and then stuff is going on.
Hold the rim up to the camera real quick, Bobby. Yeah, okay, I dig that. Yeah, that's like it's reminiscent of like a. Kind of looks like a warship lip or does it have a bead or no?
No.
No. Yeah. Maybe like something that's curved a little bit more underneath, like a, that's how rocks are, but with a bead.
And that's the Berry. And I think the Berry's
that'll be a little bit straighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks good. Those are cool.
And then the popcorn there.
Popcorn. Okay, that looks almost identical to like a Keystone or a like a Deputy, like something a little shallow, a little understable.
Yeah, I didn't show you the.
Looks great.
There's the Pepper.
That looks kind of overstable.
Yeah.
That's almost like a Firebird type disc there. Awesome. Yeah, send them over. I'll try them out. I'll give you a report.
Yeah, I'll send you some. So. Anyway, so yeah, that's all we have. Unless the board has any questions for us, we'll give them a few minutes to see if they have any questions other than asking for your social security number.
Yeah, Chaser, when I was about to start giving my address, I thought about saying 8-8-6-7-5-3-0-9. Yeah, 5-3-0-9. Oh yeah, Anthony, Anthony picked up on your typo on YouTube there, Bobby. What disc golf and or man.
Of course.
And or man.
And or man. Who will answer more? Who will handle more of the answers tonight? Who do you think, Anthony?
Yeah,
Anthony. Hey, do you have a camera in front of you, Anthony? You want to join us? Tell us about DDO. How do you handle it? Do you survive it?
Go get all your questions and word.
Disc golf and word. We're men. Yes, tonight we answer the question: are we men?
Chris says tips: hyzer flipping light discs. What's giving you trouble about the fact that it's a light disc? Like, is it an understable disc or is it overstable? Either way, I would say, when you're throwing a hyzer flip, especially if it's an understable disc, make sure that you commit to the hyzer angle. It doesn't have to be a steep hyzer angle, but make sure that you commit to it and follow through on that. Because you want the disc to work over. You don't want to rip it up to flat on your own, then I feel like you're doing a little too much work. So for me, something like a Maverick or a Leopard, I'm throwing just like 10 degrees of hyzer, smooth hyzer release, let it get up to flat, and then just kind of ride to the right. That shouldn't change whether the disc is max weight, lightweight, anything like that. Does the stability of the pepper change with color? Dude, I hope so.
Yes. No, I don't think so.
Oh, sorry. Understable, but keep turning it over. So you're talking about you're turning it over too much. Okay. Then I would say you're probably reaching back on a hyzer, but then ripping it through flat, like kind of standing up on it. Commit to that hyzer angle. You have to commit to reaching back on that, following through on that. Because that's going to give you the truest flight instead of reaching back on a hyzer and then trying to like pop it up to flat on your own. The disc is already understable. It's going to do its thing, right? Reese says that the spectator seemed to be really close to the fairway over the weekend with the wind blowing discs around. It made me nervous to watch. It did seem like they were pretty close. I mean, I wasn't there in person, but you know, you've got the best disc golfers in the world out there playing. And they're also very aware of where the spectators are. And so they're going to be pretty prone to yell for and make sure that people are taken care of. There's also a good group of volunteers out there that we're working to keep people safe. So
they didn't do the Raz run, yeah, did they?
They tightened some fairways, though.
Did they do the Raz run?
Did you see hole one?
No, me? No.
I don't know if they did the Raz round. I don't know. It was a blast when they did it, but people were way too close to that. But like hole one at Country Club used to be that the sidewalk, like the cart path left, was the OB. Now it's the left edge of the fairway. And that changes that shot a lot. Cause used to, you could let any shot go. Like, it's so rare to go out of bounds left there. Now I think it's a tougher tee shot.
So they had it just marked off tighter, not using the, not using the sidewalk. Yeah. I didn't notice that.
Brought it into the right. R. Ember said, either of you ever thrown gyro? Notice a difference? I have a couple of discs. I've thrown the Envy pretty extensively. It's just a great disc. I don't think that the gyro technology, like the different rim and flight plate, make it as big of a difference as they advertise that it does. I think in theory it should, but in practicality, it's just not as big of an impact as you'd like to. But that's not to say that they don't make good discs. I think they've got some great discs. So, yeah. Some of the best wind in the world, too. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was wild out there.
Bobby needs to try a Hex. I've never.
Who makes Hex?
That's a gyro disc.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Euros are delicious sandwiches. Yeah, they should have that. The Clash should make a Euro, Bobby.
A Euro? You know,
it'd make some people really mad. Because it looks like gyro, remember? Euro technology.
Yeah. Is that the name of the disc along with the name Mango and Pepper? Yes. Pepper. They have Pepper, Mango, Berry.
He's asking if they also have a Euro.
No, they don't have Euro as of yet.
But that's a mistake.
I've talked to them about their, they have a big thing about the happen where you can help them name the next couple of discs.
Nice.
It's going to be kind of, they told me how they're going to do it. And it's going to be kind of a cool little social media thing. So Malachi couldn't smell this because he had a sinus. Oh, a sinus. Hey, you seen this?
Hey. Oh my gosh. And he lives in Emporia now. Full circle. He works at DD. Malachi.
Really?
Uh-huh. Malachi Arzola. The that's, one.
That's
he,
cool.
He moved. He and I think he and his dad moved to Emporia. They work up there now. That's He's cool. been in a couple of videos.
That's awesome. All right. Well, that's all the time we have. Well, that's not all the time, but that's all the questions we have. So not super short, but a short little episode for you guys. We appreciate you sending those questions in. And we will see you on the next episode. We have nothing coming up. I'm sure Eric will be have some report back into us as far as some tournaments as he's playing. Make sure you follow Eric Oakley so you can keep up with what he's got going on. I know he's posted some pictures. He sold some unique discs at the Dynamic Discs Open Block Party. Of course, I know a lot of players that sell unique discs at that block party. So anyway, keep following him so you can see the cool things that he's got going on.
For sure. And make sure to reach out to him on social media and tell him how much better today's episode was than the ones that he's normally on.
Yeah. Make sure to tell him to step up his game the next time he's on. So,
yeah. Combined disc golf rating here lower than normal. Combined intelligence rating way skyrocketed.
Way skyrocket.
When Eric stepped off the show
today. We have set the bar. So, all right, guys. Well, again, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you on the next episode.
Bye, everyone.